It's the same thing as Simke.
Simke.
Changsim.
Changsim.
Simke.
Simke.
Changsim.
Changsim.
Simke. Chang stands for. So half of that stands for Changchu. Changchu means Buddhahood. The Chang part means to clean out, to clean away. And the Buddha has Changed his two obstacles. What are those? Yeah. One is an obstacle to knowledge, and one is an obstacle consisting of bad thoughts. And he has removed both. He's the only being who has removed both. Once you remove both, you are Buddha. The word Bud means to like wake up. But the Tibetans translated it as Changchu. So Chang means to clean. Chuk means to understand, to comprehend. So the word for Buddha, in one of the words for Buddha, or Buddhahood, in Tibetan, is the person who has cleaned out those two obstacles, and who has spread, or who comprehends all objects of knowledge simultaneously. In one instant, the Buddha knows everything. He's omniscient. Is he omnipotent? Can he do anything he wants? No. He cannot. If he could, there would not be cancer. There would not be horrible car accidents. Those sufferings would not exist. If he had the power to, you know, say, oh, it shouldn't be like that, he would absolutely, definitely do it.
Because of his compassion.
Yeah, of course. And his knowledge. He knows about it. He cares about it. So he'd definitely do something. But he can't. It's our own karma. Okay, Sim means mind.
That's right. He has no, he has omniscience, but not mind.
Omnipotence. He is not omnipotent. The Christian God, or the Western God, the Jewish God and the Christian God, is supposed to be omniscient. He knows all things. He's supposed to be also omnipotent. Which means that
he couldn't be compassionate, right?
Apparently not.
We can't have all three in what we have,
right? I mean, that's pretty bad.
It's true.
I don't debate Christianity much, because it's not... I mean, it's better to concentrate on your own practice. But, yeah, that one point is pretty insurmountable. Alright. Sen means mind. So this is... the Sanskrit word for this is what? The Sanskrit word for jhana alone is... Well, for the whole community. It's Bodhi.
Excuse me.
John or John?
Both, let's say.
For both?
Yeah. Together.
Bodhi is Jiangchu?
Yeah.
It's, Michael, isn't there an expression, Jiangchu Ki Sen?
Yeah.
Is that the same as Jiang Sen?
Yeah, it's common to make a Tibetan two-syllable word out of a four-syllable word, because they love two-syllable words.
Because they love two-syllable.
They love two-syllable words.
Oh.
So this is the Tibetan word for bodhicitta. You sometimes see citta spelled this way. It's because they mean to differentiate between two cha sounds. So they use like the Italian cha. Yeah. Okay. But I don't think they should, you know, that's only for scholars. So they know which Sanskrit letter they use. And I think it's incorrect to use it in a book, because people will say bodhicitta. It's only to differentiate between two letters that we don't have in English anyway. Bodhicitta. The first thing to notice about this, I'll give you its definition, the rough definition. Okay. The wish to achieve enlightenment for all beings. And it grows out of renunciation. Because renunciation is fed up with the suffering of this life for yourself. And a lot of people didn't get that quite straight on that last homework. And Changsim bodhicitta looks at other people and says, oh, they have the same problem I have. They have the same suffering I have. The state of mind, Kyabje Pabongka says, is the same state of mind. Renunciation and bodhicitta, the wish to achieve enlightenment, are the same thing, same feeling. It's just that one is focused at just me, and the other is focused at all sentient beings. But it's the same state of mind. It's wants to get out of suffering.
Did you say it grows out of renunciation, or goes out of... What did you say?
You have to have renunciation first, because you can only have compassion by truly understanding. It's not compassion for someone who doesn't have a house, or someone who's got cancer, or someone who's got AIDS, or something like that. It's compassion for anyone who has samsara, or who is samsara. Which means what? Those five impure heaps that they can't stop.
So are you saying then that bodhicitta is really feeling for the root of their suffering, not the external manifestation of their suffering?
No. It's concern for their samsara.
The root of it, not the
stuff. I mean, of course, that will be a natural outcome of having bodhicitta, is that, you know, you would try to help homeless people and things like that. It's kind of be suspicious of people who talk about bodhicitta but not helping the guy next to them, you know. It seems probably a little strange.
So then you would feel the same toward everyone.
Yeah, because everyone has these five parts. You know, everybody has the same problem. I like to think of it as, I was on a plane one time going to Chicago, and they circled for a long time. They started to go like that. And then they said, we think we're going to crash land. And please take your shoes off and take off all jewelry, because as the plane burns, it'll burn through your fingers. And you'll be able to run faster if you don't have shoes on. And, you know, and then they said, now you get down like this. And you know,
then they said,
started to crack up, you know.
Then they said, April Fools?
Yeah, and it was like... the emotion in the plane was a few people cracked up, and then most people got this incredible feeling of brotherhood, like, okay, I might die right now, so, you know.
Here's my watch.
Friend. No, there's nothing. You felt this love between people.
You gotta take it off anyway.
You're all in the same situation, like, you're all gonna die in the next 10 minutes or not, you know. And you felt this real incredible love for each other. And at that point, as the plane's coming down, you don't get this thing of, oh, I don't like this guy's face, or this guy, his elbow hit me when he put his seatbelt on. You know? The time is gone, you know. All you're thinking is, well, I might die with all these people. Let's be warm to each other. We were really warm to each other. It's incredible. You know, and then we didn't die. So.
Everybody ignored each other again.
But we're exactly in the same situation. I mean, if you think about it, you are in... We are currently, you know, all of us are showing. It's the same situation. In Kyabje, I mean, Jetsun Kapa says, if you fell off a cliff with somebody else, would you argue on the way down, you know? I don't like your breath, you know, I don't like your face. We're all in the same situation. I mean, we all have all fallen off the cliff already. The plane is going down. I mean, so be nice to each other. What else you have to do, you know? You're all going to die shortly, so why fight? I think, who was it, Perry or something like that. He went to the North Pole. He didn't make it. He's in a small house. It's like 1920. For hundreds of miles, it snows like 20 feet deep. He knows he's going to die, but he has like 5 days to think about it. And his journal was very beautiful, and towards the end, he seemed to get like this feeling. He said that, you know, his last entry, something, by God, you know, please take care of please take care of humanity, or something like that. His reaction was some kind of love for everyone, because he had nothing else. He knows he's going to die. He got this very mellow, sweet feeling. You know? And that's what it is, Semke. Okay, Changsem. Semke means the same thing. Normally, you'll hear it referred to in Tibetan as Semke. When we talk about the Three Principles of Paths, we use Changsem. It means the same thing.
Okay. What's Ke?
Ke means to develop or grow.
Samson still means mind in both cases, right?
Yeah. So I ask you, is Bodhi mind, if you have Bodhi mind, are you necessarily a Buddha? Or can you be a Buddha?
Yeah,
can you get Bodhi mind before you become a Buddha?
You have to get a Bodhi mind.
That's not all the aggregates. It's part of the aggregates being clean.
But isn't Bodhi mind the mind of a Buddha?
Yeah. It's the aspiration.
Yeah, it is not the mind of a Buddha. So people translate it sometimes as Bodhi mind. It's a very dangerous translation. It makes people think that this is the mind of a Buddha. It's not. It's the mind which would like to become a Buddha. Okay? It's the state of mind in which you would like to be a Buddha. But Bodhi mind does not mean Buddha mind. Different thing. Chang Sam, Bodhicitta, doesn't refer to the mind of a Buddha.
Yeah.
So unlike Bodhisattva, then, Buddhas wouldn't have Bodhicitta anymore.
Why?
Because if you're wishing for something that you already are, I mean, it makes no sense.
There's a big debate about it in the monastery.
No, I mean, I know that the debate about whether Buddhas are still Bodhisattvas or not, I can understand that, but on the other hand...
Well, they still have desire to be a Buddha.
In fact, Buddhas
still go for refuge.
So while not all beings who have bodhicittas are Buddhas, all Buddhas have bodhicitta.
Yeah, so I want to go through the combinations, okay? Just so you know, I mean, these are technical things. You become a bodhisattva when you get Changsam. Changsam, when the first moment of Changsam arises in your mind, you are a bodhisattva. They are simultaneous. What makes you a bodhisattva is having chunks.
Just the aspiration?
It has to be really, really powerful and deep. We distinguish between preliminary bodhicitta and real bodhicitta. There is a bodhicitta that you can get before that. They call it sugarcane bodhicitta. Because it's really sweet, but it's hollow on the inside. Meaning it's not really powerful yet. It's not really the real thing.
So this is the real.
And this is the real thing. Yeah. And very difficult. And there's a joke in Tibetan. When you do this Sangye Chodan, Toge Chonam La, the second part of that is the wish. It's called the wish. And people say, well, I got the wish because I recited that before class. Said, look, it's not that easy. You know, this is one of the hardest things in the world to produce. This wish means it's not just the wish that you were a Buddha. It's like some incredibly strong state of mind, which we will get into next week, next class.
I thought that we weren't a bodhisattva until you received emptiness directly.
Now I'm about to talk about that.
Okay.
All right.
But Michael, one final question. Is one of the characteristics of true bodhicitta that is irreversible, or could you have it and lose it? Real bodhicitta.
It's you will study in the Abhisamalankara, which is the perfection of wisdom, which is your next course. It takes us 12 years in the monastery. You're going to do it like 1 year. There are certain subjects which are set aside. They're taken. In fact, this is a textbook. I helped edit it. These texts were missing until about 5 years ago. A lot of them. And we recovered them. In fact, there's still some pages missing. And we had to write, you know, a note that says, one page gone, can't find it, Tibet for 30 years.
What do you mean they were recovered?
There were just no copies available. They were burned by the Chinese.
Destroyed. Where did you find them?
You found like one piece of it over there, one piece of it over there. We collected pieces from all over. And we got it all back together. But in here, there's a separate subject on... It is a separate subject called Salam Topsu, which means there's 15 combinations of paths. If you reach Bodhisattva, can you go down? If you perceive emptiness, can you reverse? If you reach Nirvana, are you automatically a Bodhisattva? Like that. It's a whole subject. It takes a long time to study. Basically speaking, I'll give you the guts of it right now. You're a Bodhisattva, yeah?
I'm sorry. Is that commentaries on the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra?
Yeah. Commentary on the commentary on commentary to commentary.
Plus the text of the original.
No. They never read the original. They memorize a few lines of it sometimes. But these are more clear, because the originals are like code word. You can't understand it unless you've studied this for years. Okay. Where were we? So you become a bodhisattva by getting bodhicitta. When you get bodhicitta, you are a bodhisattva. How does that relate to seeing emptiness? You can be a bodhisattva long before you ever see emptiness directly. And even long before you even understand it intellectually, you can become a bodhisattva.
But isn't it the first bhumi to see emptiness directly?
We'll get there. Now, I'll cover that, don't worry.
Right now? Okay.
If you like, I'll cover it now. I wasn't going to. Okay. So achieving the wish to help all other beings can occur long before you understand emptiness, even intellectually. Much less directly. Now, what if you... Excuse me.
You also said without being aware of the wish.
No, not that. You know. You definitely know. Even before you directly perceive
emptiness. Before you directly perceive emptiness.
Long before you directly perceive emptiness, you can achieve bodhicitta. And even before you intellectually understand emptiness, you do achieve bodhicitta. Now, what happens if you have bodhicitta in your mind? Once you get it in your mind, it's like water in a sponge. Okay? It's all over your mind. And then you perceive emptiness directly. This is like dynamite. Nitroglycerin and dynamite, you know. Then you reach the first, what we call bhumi, or the first level. There's 10 levels of bodhisattva levels. Okay, so you can be a bodhisattva long before you reach the first bodhisattva level. The first bodhisattva level, and perceiving emptiness directly with bodhicitta in your heart is to achieve the first bhumi. But I wasn't going to get into that. You don't have to worry about it.
Just tone on me.
I just always got confused.
Take tempo. Third track.
Can you repeat that? The first bodhisattva.
I didn't want to really get into it.
I know.
What we call bhumi, or the first bodhisattva level, occurs when a person who already has bodhicitta in his mind, who's already got bodhicitta, perceives emptiness directly. That moment of perceiving emptiness directly and reaching the first bodhisattva bhumi are simultaneous.
Is that transcendental level, or is that something
Yeah, we call it earth, level. Literally, it means earth.
Ground.
Sometimes they call it ground. It means level.
Ground, okay, ground.
And sometimes they mangle it as ground. I mean, that's one of those... It means literally ground. It means level.
So the first bodhisattva level and the first bhumi are the same thing.
Yeah, bhumi means bodhisattva.
Okay, right.
Bhumi is the Sanskrit word for bodhisattva.
So wait a minute, but you're saying you can't reach the first bodhisattva ground
also perceive emptiness
directly.
With bodhicitta in your heart. You have to have bodhicitta in your heart and then see emptiness directly, and that is the first bhumi. Simultaneously. But you don't need to know these things.
Do you make a distinction between having it in your mind and having it in your heart?
No, I mean these things.
Well, isn't there a distinction made between...
No, go ahead, go ahead.
It seems to me it's actually in this book. Between actually having the wish strongly and acting.
Yeah, once you already have
bodhicitta,
there's two levels inside. Okay. We'll get there. Okay, so that's bodhicitta, right? The wish to achieve Buddha. Sometimes they call it semke, which means changchukdu semke, to generate or to develop the wish to achieve Buddha. So semke is an idiom. Semke is a synonym for changsem. We're going to call it changsem in this class, but you will probably hear it more often referred to as semke.
What's the word you put in between?
Chang-chuk? Chang-chuk-du. Du means two.
I know, but what
is
it has
a translator? Du. Du looks like this. Okay. To get the desire, to develop the wish to, which is du, become a Buddha. To get to Buddha.
Well, I never know if it's going to be T or D. It depends on
the system. There is no English equivalent. It is between a T and a D. And that's why people fight about it. And it's a silly fight, because there is no English equivalent. As you will learn one day. when I trick you into starting to bend.
Chamchukki
sem is the long form of this.
Chamchukki sem.
Not sempa. Sempa can mean something. It makes sense, right? Because Chang Sen is a kind of renunciation, right? It's just renunciation focused at other people. You can have it a long time before you understand the true nature of reality. Is it hot?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Is the air conditioner on the right?
Is it on the right thing?
On the right?
Yeah. Is it cool? Is it cool?
It's up.
If you want to crack the door, it's not like this. Probably just as hot outside. Just pretend you're in India. They make you wear your full robe. The first year, no one told me you didn't have to wear a wool robe, you know. Changchun?
Changchun.
Say Changchun?
Changchun.
Senpa.
Senpa.
Changchun?
Senpa.
Senpa. Changchun means body. Right, Buddhahood. Sam means mind, right? And I love the word Ba. Ba means warrior.
Warrior.
We stick that on the end of a lot of things, like in the noun.
Yeah, like that.
Just means warrior.
Doesn't it mean people should also?
Warrior.
Develop.
In Mongolian, it's Ba-der.
That way it's complex.
Huh?
That way it's complex.
No, that's a different
kind.
Yeah,
different.
How do you develop bodhicitta? I would like to hear again. How do you develop bodhicitta?
That's what we're going to do this class and next class.
Right.
Actually, next class.
Because somehow you explained it already, partly. You develop renunciation. And
it really is renunciation, and it's you know, no one really got it clearly, and I guess I didn't explain it clearly.
Yeah.
But it's just renunciation focused on other people. All other people. Okay, Chanju Sempa means a Bodhi mind warrior, which is Bodhisattva. This is the Tibetan word for Bodhisattva. A person who has what? A person who has what? Bodhicitta. Anyone who has the real, true wish to achieve enlightenment in order to help all other beings is automatically a Bodhisattva, a warrior of them.
Is that the same pa that they put on the end of like the lupa?
No, not at all. That's a simple p. P. Pa.
Okay.
It only occurs like at the end of Vajrasattva. That's the sattva of Vajrasattva.
In what?
Vajrasattva.
There's a pa there?
Yeah, there's a warrior there too. He's a warrior of the diamond.
Dorje Sempa. In Tibet. Dorje Sempa.
Oh, okay.
So the va is the warrior part of the sampa.
Yeah. No, the sattva.
Sattva.
Sattva means warrior.
Oh, sempa together means warrior.
No, va. But sometimes sempa also means like.
What is sempa together then? What is that? Mean? Mind of warrior?
Mind of
courageous or something?
It is. I've never seen it really explained like that.
It's funny that they're always together.
I mean, sattva. Yeah, so twa is iti, sat means truth. I don't know. Okay.
So where does that fit into the understanding of the word? I mean, it seems like you've mentioned it, but I haven't connected it to anything yet.
I think
some sort of lion heart or something.
Yeah, I think most basically we'll get into it. It's right here. Okay.
Michael, what page is that on?
It's not clearly, I mean, you won't be able to pick it out of the text. I can tell you it's on page 42. But it's spread out throughout those two pages, so I'm just going to sort of collate it for you. It's line 4. Line 3. I'm going to start giving you a long list of which, on your quiz, I can tell you in advance, you're only responsible for 6 of just what Bodhicitta can do for you. Benefits of Bodhicitta. This part of the book is supposed to get you excited about getting Bodhicitta. Before they tell you how to do it, how to get it. In all Buddhism, before you do a practice, you're supposed to understand what it's going to do for you. You're not supposed to start it until you're really hot on it. Okay? And they're supposed to give you a long list of benefits before you... It's supposed to get you excited about wanting to get it. And then they say, oh, by the way, you can also get it. And here's the way. And you're by that time, you're on the sales pitch. Where can I buy it?
And furthermore,
for $9.95, Namkengi.
Namkengi.
Gewa means what?
Sunam.
Gewa, you had Gewa. I tasted it. Gewa means virtue. Good deed. Good deed. I don't like the word virtue so much. Virtue refers to characteristics like bravery. Gewa means a good deed. Gewa? Namkin. Namkin means omniscience. It's short for Namatamji Chamba, which means to know everything, Mr. Know-it-all.
To know everything.
Knowing all things. You can see everything in the world in one moment. And keep your mind on it all without getting confused. Okay. Namkin ki. Ki means of. O-F. Of. Gyu means cause. Cause. So Stillwell, what do you guess? What's that mean?
Cause for omniscient good deeds.
Cause for them.
And in Tibetan, oftentimes you have to supply the verb. If it's a verb, is.
It is the cause.
Yeah. No, what's the noun?
No, the cause.
Bodhicitta is
no.
The cause.
Good deed is.
Good deeds.
Are the cause of
omniscient. If.
Proper motivation.
If what?
If you have bodhicitta.
Yeah, if you have bodhicitta. And only if you have.
Only if you have bodhicitta.
This is the first benefit of bodhicitta, okay? The first benefit of wanting to help everybody, the first good thing about it, of wanting to become Buddha so you can help everybody, the first good thing is that it becomes a cause for what good things you do. They bring you, they make you a Buddha. Because usually if you do good things without this desire in your mind, if you just do something good for somebody, you just get what?
Merit.
Good consequences.
Yeah. Is it still samsara? If you do something good for somebody...
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Does it, no, but does it lead?
Yeah,
if you do something good for somebody, but you don't understand what you're doing, and you don't have these three principal paths, then... is it a cause for samsara?
Yeah.
But if you do something good...
good for a bodhisattva.
Yeah, and by the way, I just want to say one more thing about that. I mean, right, like right now, you can have ice cream, right? Or you can have a good friend, or you can hear good music, or things like that. Those are all result of gewa, of good deeds. Is it samsara?
Yeah.
It's going to change. It has to go away. The end of it is death. The end of it is teeth rotting out, ears going, eyes can't see anything, stinky, no friends, lose money. It's always the end. I mean, go to a nursing home. That's where you'll be. You know? That's the best thing that can happen.
But what about having the fortune of meeting the Dharma?
Now that's a different thing.
Does that mean...
That's
a different thing.
That's a different thing.
You still go in the same place, but they understand.
You do something good without knowing, without bodhicitta, but you happen to do it for bodhisattva. Like if somebody...
For a bodhisattva? He's a bodhisattva, you don't know it, and you do something good for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, a tremendously virtuous deed. Tremendous virtue. Incredible virtue. I mean, to exponent, like a million times better than doing it to a non-bodhisattva.
Why?
He's just a very, very holy object. If you aid him, doing good means, you know, you feed him, he can go teach people this holy thing, which among all the words in the world being spoken today, which among all the words in the whole universe being spoken today, are the only words that can really help you. So really, tremendous version.
Even if you didn't know.
And the opposite is very true, too. Mm. And they say, be goddamn careful, you know. Anybody you meet on the bus, he might be a bodhisattva. He could very well be a bodhisattva. Do not get angry at him. Do not say something bad to him. No, you don't know. And the opposite is also true. If you say something bad to a bodhisattva, incredible bad karma.
Okay.
So they use it as a reason not to say anything bad to anybody, because you don't know. I don't know who you are.
I thought
you
the motivation was always essential in this.
Not with powerful objects. That's why... I have a lousy motivation, but I help my teacher, or I work on things, and that's, you know, I mean, just the power of those objects gets me some benefit, you know. Now we all have lousy motivation. We all have a selfish motivation at the basis of it, usually. You
know. But sometimes people commit non-virtuous deeds, and their motivations really aren't non-virtuous.
No, right, and we talked about it. We'll get into it. Fourth chapter, we don't have a question.
But Michael, in between somebody who
obviously
is
less than a full karma, but still a karma.
In between someone who is doing a virtuous deed that is a samsaric result, and someone who is doing a virtuous deed with bodhicitta and so forth, which is the result of Buddhahood, is someone who's doing a virtuous deed with renunciation but without bodhicitta, which produces nirvana, right?
Yeah, by the way, you can...
So that would be a virtuous deed that is not samsaric and not producing Buddhahood, right?
Right. Directly.
Right, so that's in between.
Yeah, you have that possibility. And he mentions it here, actually. Now he starts listing. By the way, these benefits come from a book called Bodhicaryavatara. And he's pulling it out of Bodhicaryavatara. Shakyagarya's.
Can you write down?
It's been translated as what? Bodhisattva's Way of Life. It's a good translation. I like that. There's two ways to spell it. I'll give you the short one. You don't need it, okay? Learning to act like a bodhisattva. Okay? How to act like a bodhisattva. The bodhisattva's way of life. It's a good translation. This is a short Sanskrit name. It's a long one. But you don't need it. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to test you on it. It's just for your own interest. He's using that book, and he's using Chandrakirti's basic book on emptiness. Umalajuka.
Chandrakirti's what?
Root text on emptiness called Madhyamikavatara. He's using those two, and he's using a third one.
Michael, is it easy to find this book that I never found really? What is it called? 50 stanzas? Where can you find?
Which one? There's a lot of.
Guru's
Devotion? Guru Devotion?
On Guru Devotion, yeah.
I think I have a copy of it, yeah. It's a Xerox of a Xerox, I think. From one of the Tibetan pamphlets.
Yeah.
I bring it.
Plus.
50 verses on Guru Devotion.
Don't say shut up.
The experience of the day that you get it, by the way, you know it. You know it incontrovertibly. It's an experience, and you have it, and you have a certain... almost physical sensations happen to you. Yeah. And, you know, almost like a feeling of light coming out of your heart and going out to other people, and that your life is dedicated now to other people, and that you will spend all your time to do that. And it's an actual very... and you're sure of it. You know you got it. And it's some kind of almost physical sensation. Hami.
Hami.
Chakja.
Chakja.
Lepa. Hami.
Vani,
Chacha,
Lepa.
Okay. This is another benefit, okay? Pa, you know, Pasa?
Gods.
Pasa means. Pasa means land of the gods, Los Angeles. Really? That's the capital of Tibet. The Pa part means gods.
Los Angeles is the Kinis, isn't it?
Angels.
So Pla is gone to
the land of the gods. Plasa, the capital of Tibet, means land of the gods. The name for the capital of Tibet. But that's... This is only half of that. This one means gods.
Plural.
Yeah. Gods means... do we accept the Hindu gods? Do we accept that there's this guy Ishvara, Vishnu? We do. I mean, Buddhism accepts that those beings exist. They accept that there's beings that you cannot see, and they agree that you cannot see them, and that they have incredible power. But their power is temporary condition. They will die. They do suffer. It's not worth it to try to reach that. But they are much more powerful than we are. They do exist.
Power of what?
I don't know exactly.
and they're samsaric, right?
Yeah.
They're very high.
They
samsaric.
Have huge kingdoms up on planes that we can't see.
Samsaric.
They have millions of servants serving them. They are.
They dance a lot.
They have incredible palaces. They have huge. Pleasure gardens, they have thousands of gold mines.
Is it given to the interact with us on this level of existence?
They say that they have some interaction with us. There are kinds of beings that you can't see that can cause you problems.
Or benefits?
And Buddhism says you can't see them. And Buddhism says you should doubt them.
Should doubt.
So if you're a logical person, you should doubt them. You cannot see them. They can only be established with some kind of logic.
Is this
one
are these the gods?
They believe one of the higher realms?
Yeah, they're actually in all three realms. They're at the top of our realm also, we can't see them.
Are these the gods that this refers to?
Yeah. I mean, I'll describe it this way. Incredibly powerful and happy beings that you and I can't see, and Buddhism admits that you can't see them. So, you know, Buddha said, consider it. You don't have to accept it. In fact, if you did accept it easily, wouldn't be a Buddhist.
So in the Buddhism, there is not God as a creator.
And that's why the word God, I translate it as pleasure being. They are beings who are in a state of incredible pleasure because they did very good deeds in their past life, especially because they did very good meditation in their past life, but on the wrong objects.
So Michael, it's like the Greek God.
The universe was out. How did it proceed? When did it start? Never? Endless?
No, there's samsara.
Maybe the third chapter in
there's
the
samsara.
Well, how did our universe start?
Yeah, our universe. Yeah.
Christianity,
they say God came and it generated everything.
We do say that universes start, how they start, how the earth is formed, how the first beings are born on this earth. All that is in the Abhidharma Kosha. And we'll study it.
All right.
Fourth year.
Isn't this something like the first
two?
In fact, there's a Garden of Eden accepted in
Greece.
That was
the question.
And it's described in the Abhidharma.
Because it had a lot of merit.
I was reading something about this in that book on the Buddha that I was talking about.
It talks
about the benefit of God, which is the creator God, as being the first kind of a being.
The beginning of
the universe. They might come and...
We don't accept that.
Do you know what I'm saying? That they think it's a god and then they bring other beings in to surround them so that it's...
Do we accept like Ishvara? Yes. Do the Hindus believe that Ishvara made the world? Yes. But we debate them on that. We say he can't. He cannot make the world.
Why don't...
Who made Ishvara?
I thought they said that it made the world, but they came into the first maybe mind that would come into this.
Who created the karma? It's a law. Let's say if the karma is a law, right?
Yeah.
So we create this law.
Your karma
created. In the fourth year, okay, you say.
A pleasure being sort of a bad consequence because once you get into that that state that it's very difficult to achieve Buddhahood because you don't have that suffering?
It's like a kid who's born rich, you know? I mean, our boss's kid, I hate to pick on my boss because he's really a good person. And he is a good person. But he has a kid who was born a millionaire or multimillionaire, okay? And they often get in worse trouble. He's had a psychiatrist before age 10, right? Oftentimes they have more trouble in life because they are not hardened by the hard things in life. And they almost prefer that a kid be, he should have a little bit of a hard life and then he'll grow up stronger. And it's like that, yeah. We believe that also. We believe that it's a disadvantage to be born as one of those beings.
But isn't being born that way supposedly from good deeds? Then?
Yeah,
but
it is pleasant, isn't it?
Really, it's not really, it doesn't end up being.
It's pleasant, but not ultimately beneficial. There's a distinction. Virtue is defined as an action of body, speech, and mind which creates you some pleasant result in the future. Not one which might be good for you, I guess.
Okay. Two points briefly. It's not, I mean, there's a, in our culture we can think of the Greek gods. That's somewhere in that direction, right? It's not exactly the same. Zeus, who's a creator.
Yeah,
but I mean, we all think about them lounging around all day in fantastic robes and whatnot, number one. And number two, I've heard it explained also that the Ishvaras and the Indras and the powerful gods like that are also, it's more like an office, that there is always an Ishvara, okay? And in fact, we've all been that before. It's like being the president, you know?
And that
there's always some being passing through that, but it is still samsaric, so it's not permanent. But there is, at any given time, always a king of the universe or a queen of the universe.
Not always, but yeah, it does
generally
happen
speaking.
Over and over again.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Me means what? Me means not, but what about, some of the time it's a noun meaning what? Person.
Human.
Me also means man. Human. Ala me. Chak. Chak means hand. Hand. You know Chak Tselo?
It's about down.
Yeah. Chak Tsel means to seek something from the hand of your lama. Tsel means to look for something. So with the word in Tibetan for bowing down means I'm looking for something from the person's hand that I'm bowing down to. Please give me nirvana. Please give me Buddha. The word means that. So namas, right? Namaste. So chak jar upa means you are.
Jar was.
I'll get there. Mm. You are worthy of the prostrations of all other high beings in the world.
Humans and gods.
Jar.
Chak jar, wilpa means worthy, jar means to be bowed down to. Okay. That doesn't seem like a big shakes to you, right? I mean, you don't care if somebody you can't see is bowing down to you.
Later.
But what it means is by, you're automatically a big shot, okay? You are. If you get that state of mind, it would be quite proper for anyone who ever met you to get down on their hands and knees and kiss your feet.
Including these gods in the
world. Yeah, even the highest beings in the suffering world.
It's a dangerous point, Michael, when they say on the yellow book here that one of the most difficult things to overcome is the fame, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot better than having them shooting at
God. But he wouldn't have this if he didn't have renunciation, right? And renunciation doesn't care about it.
So it's clean or rainy.
But it's someone who wouldn't be swayed by it is someone who's also worthy of it. And
that's the way it usually works. Yeah.
And these are beings that you should doubt anyway.
Yeah, the hearts. But not the means. Means are humans.
The what?
Me means human.
Oh.
It means gods and men. What it means is that you are automatically the king of the world. People may recognize it or not, but you are the holiest people in the world. You become a different kind of person. You're worth a lot more now. You're a hot property.
They'll stop trying to mug you.
No.
So you're worthy of all men and gods bowing down to you.
How do you get the transliteration of jar?
Jara means to be.
To be.
And Chak means bowed down too.
Chak literally means hand, but it's
short for Chak Sawar Chawa.
And the Yakuza?
Appa means you are worthy.
You're worthy.
Oh,
so did you say the whole sentence?
Yeah, you are a person who deserves to be bowed down to by every other being in the world, in the universe.
You're worthy of the prostrations of gods and men. Something like that.
Very good.
Trying to get it in one. And you men. Also, the Buddha is often referred to as the teacher of gods and men, right, Michael?
Please say Nyanran.
Nyanran.
Silky.
Silky.
Nimba.
Nimba.
Nyanran.
Nyanran.
Silky.
Silky.
Nimba.
Nimba.
Nyan means listener. It's a kind of Buddhist. Okay.
To the hearers.
Very high kind of Buddhist. He has already reached nirvana in some cases. He has already reached nirvana. He has understood emptiness directly. He has true renunciation. He can even have reached nirvana already. Hearers, they can hear someone describe bodhicitta. And they can even pass it on to other people what they heard. They can't practice it. That's the problem for them. Okay. They're called listeners because they can learn about bodhicitta from somebody, and then they can go even, they can say, I heard today a lecture about bodhicitta, wait till you hear about this, but they can't practice it. They're not practicing.
Is that true of all things that they encounter?
No, it's just specifically the classical etymology of why they're called listeners. They're hinayana. Rang means rang sangye, self-made Buddhas. Self-made Buddhas. Are they real Buddhas? No. Are they called Buddhas? Yes.
Rang. Is this Rang?
Yeah. Rang stands for a word called Rang Sangye, which means self-made Buddha.
Okay, so these are the solitary
ones. Yeah, they call them solitary ones.
What is that?
All of you guys say that. Every translator.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Would you rather be which is more clear to you, solitary, realizer, or... In fact, it's even wrong. It's incorrect. It doesn't mean that.
Why are they even called Buddhas? I mean, you're talking about people who've achieved nirvana, not Buddhahood?
Right.
So how did the term Buddhahood even get in there? Is that just a bad translation that stuck?
Even the Hinayana tradition wouldn't call them Buddhas.
There is a Buddhahood which is not called Buddhahood. There's two Hinayana Buddhahoods.
But I thought Buddhahood depended on bodhicitta.
We were assuming full Buddha. Total Buddha. Total enlightenment. I don't want to get into it. Long story.
Nirvana doesn't mean you're a Buddha.
No, it does not. Absolutely does not.
I thought in the Hinayana tradition you didn't achieve Buddhahood at all, at any level. You achieved Nirvana.
Not Mahayana Buddha. Of course, they have Buddhas in their books. Of course, they achieve Buddhahood. Lower Buddha. Long story. I don't want to get
Nirvana.
Into it. I'll teach it to you later.
They understand enunciation, but they don't understand correct view.
No,
they understand correct view.
A version of correct view.
But they don't have...
What did you
A version of correct view, or the same exact correct view.
Same exact
big correct. Debate. Big debate.
That's fun.
Dalai Lama debates.
No, you told me one time there's a Hinayana emptiness and a Mahayana.
That's only according to the lower mind. Okay, next.
Self-made Buddha, what do you mean by that? Self-made Buddha?
Oh, self-made means he doesn't have any teacher in this life. He practices by himself, and he becomes he reaches a kind of nirvana. But we call self-made because he does not have a direct teacher in this life. Now, does that mean he doesn't have a teacher? No. He had thousands, maybe millions of teachers before in his past lives. They taught him. Then he was born in this life. He had no teacher, but suddenly he understands everything.
And he doesn't have bodhicitta.
No. That's why they're called self-made Buddhas. And then they say, well, are they self-made? You've debated in the monastery. Like, of course not. You have a million teachers in this place.
But where is the Buddha? I mean, in Tibet.
It's in Rang Sangye.
Okay.
this is only one syllable that stands for four syllables.
Okay, so the word Sangye is in there. Yeah. So in Tibetan, it actually refers to the
sure.
Buddha.
So
but what does it do in Sanskrit?
Pratyeka.
Pratyeka
simply means the single one.
Pratyeka.
No, Pratyeka Buddha.
Pratyeka Buddha.
Pratyeka Buddha.
Pratyeka Buddha.
Pratyeka Buddha. One who is by himself and who becomes a nation. But it's not right. Real Buddha. That's why you have to say Yangaba Dzogchen Sangye, which means totally. That's why you get that phrase, totally enlightened. Because there is an untotally enlightened also. Okay. So, yeah. Silky Numba is one word. It has no. You can't explain the parts, you have to explain the whole thing. Silky Numba. Silky Numba means to outshine. Outshine. An example, my Lama always says, when Queen Elizabeth goes to one of these royal weddings, and first out comes this little prince, and then comes the Duke, you know, and then comes the crown prince, who's pretty hot stuff. Then comes Queen Elizabeth. And she's got some quality that when she comes out, all the eyes go to her. Even though she's not very pretty now, you know, everyone, she's got some kind of a...
charisma.
Some kind of a
presence
that outshines all the other people. So that's what Silky Numba.
She's got a crown on her head.
She is
so
the queen.
The
monkey she's the only one who is the queen in that group. So when your eye goes to her. I mean, she outshines. When there can be a moon in the sky, at low down near the horizon, and then the sun comes up, Silky Numba the moon. The sun, you know, bursts out its light, and the moon disappears. That's Silky Numba. Silky Numba is a hard word. So if you what?
Overshadow.
Mr. Kelly.
Outshine. You outshine the listeners in self-hypnosis.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are heavies, you know. They have achieved nirvana. They have perceived emptiness directly. They have true renunciation. They got rid of all their bad thoughts. Okay? But you outshine them like Queen Elizabeth outshines all those people. And you don't even understand emptiness yet.
Seems a little out of balance there.
No, but it's true.
Yeah.
So you can perceive emptiness without...
They can't become a Buddha. You can.
You can perceive emptiness without bodhicitta.
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's what I thought that was...
In fact, that's what these two have done. Not at all. No, it's not. There's one school of Buddhism that says they don't perceive pure emptiness. They perceive a version of emptiness.
Is that Madhyamika?
It's a lower Madhyamika. But the higher school says they perceive it. They see it. All right.
Can you tell the whole meaning of this?
Yeah. If you get that bodhicitta, if you really want to help all people, you are shining more than those arhats, arham, people who see emptiness directly, big, big Buddhists. But you are better because you want to help all people. It's more important than all these other things. You shine stronger than them. They already understand emptiness. They already meditate perfect. They already stopped all their bad thoughts. They already reached nirvana. But you are better than them. Because you want to help all people.
So this is the meaning.
Yeah. You're shining stronger than them.
Sometimes, Michael, it seems that if you have the right attitude, you don't need to go into through the old intricacies. Intricacies of the Buddhism, learning all these things, you know, because if you have a right attitude, like the Dalai Lama said, right, in that document that you were mentioning, he said, forget about Buddhism. The important thing is to develop loving kindness and for the other people. That's the most important thing.
What if you get both?
Oh.
See, that's always my answer to you see, what if you understand the car perfectly and it's also running
you
wrong?
Can drive
you know I mean isn't that the best it's an atomic bomb
besides which wouldn't if you developed bodhicitta it would just force you to become a Buddha so that you could act on it right I mean you can't just want to help everybody and then just sit there and look out the window feeling like that then it would motivate you to do the best you could and the best you could is to achieve enlightenment and omniscience so it would come from it no?
No, but he's saying, you know, we're going to spend 5 years studying the tiny details of everything.
Right.
Isn't it better just to go meditate and get bodhicitta?
Yeah, but if you did, then you would stop meditating, go out and spend 5 years to learn the details of everything to become enlightened so that you could do bodhicitta.
Yeah, I mean, that's one answer. But It is true. I can tell you one thing truly. We will spend, and in the monastery we spend a total of 14 or 15 years on the Madhyamika school. On all the arguments that were ever held between Madhyamika schools. The day that you perceive emptiness in 5 minutes, you grasp entirely that 15 years of study. I mean, there's nothing in those 15 years which you didn't just understand perfectly. And at that point, you don't really need those books. It's true.
Seems also true that there are monks that they can work with the mind very well, and other monks that work through their heart. They don't go into reading scriptures or books. They just feel it. That's enough, and then they are gardening, maybe.
There's mechanics different that can types. Fix the car by instinct.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they learned it in other lives. Yeah?
Every piece of the car. Which would you rather take your car to?
I think the question is, can you experience emptiness, for instance, without spending the 15 years?
Minutes of meditation. It has to be 1 or 2 or 3 hours of meditation. If you never in your life or on a regular basis meditate for 1 or 2 hours, then by definition, you cannot reach these stages. You never will.
So it could be waiting to happen, and it never does until you're born somewhere and you sit down for the first time for 1 hour, and bang, and everyone says, look at this guy, I didn't learn from anybody.
But it's, but normally, to be able to sit like that, you have to be doing it almost every day. It's like weightlifting. It's like exercising.
Go ahead. The Lama that said, you know, to really get it, to really make progress, it's like 25% listening, 25% debate, 50% meditation, and if you don't have that basic combination, you can't really progress.
That sounds good. That sounds good. We will debate. We are debating, right?
Okay. No.
You want to argue about it. You want to debate about that we're not debating? What time is it?
These two benefits don't seem really very important. I mean, it doesn't seem very important to have people bow down to you or outshine people.
I don't think it's so much that they bow down to you, it's that you are worthy of it. You are. It's not that, okay, I'm king of the world, okay? But what it's saying is that you become the most special person in the world. You are a special person. Yeah, it's not. I like the other benefits more myself.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's going to be some better ones.
If I tell you this, if you have this kind of love in your heart, you are further advanced than an arhat. You are further advanced than a person who has seen emptiness directly, who has true renunciation, who has reached nirvana. You are more advanced if you have this love in your heart.
This is,
that's a big deal.
Somebody who aspires to bodhicitta is
that's like
greater
boring.
In some sense.
Well, yeah, one who even has just the wish, the strong wish. Yeah. It actually, that's a pretty big deal. Have some tea. And we'll finish. There's not much to go. We have a few to go. It's not for them. I mean, not by that point.
No, that's the point. If you're worthy of it, then
because
if you couldn't be swayed by it, then you really are worthy of it.
What is tantra? What is tantra? It's renunciation aimed at everybody. So if you don't have renunciation, it starts out aimed at yourself, and then you don't. If you're going to get proud about being bodhisattva, then
so you pure at this point.
You didn't reach because you have renunciation.
There's ironies involved. It's like when you don't want anything anymore, you get everything you have. When you don't care about people bowing to you anymore, then you really are worthy of it.
Chungse means the tiniest, just a tiny, 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 okay, tiny, tiny guddi. And he says here, giving a little scrap of bread to a bird, giving just some little crumb of bread to a bird, just to give a little food to a bird. Tekchen means, do you know?
Tekchen
means Mahayana. Sure, you know. Sure.
Sure.
Dharma. So people always talk about Mahayana Dhamma, right?
Mahayanas talk about it. I don't know about the Hinayanas.
So the smallest action that you do, the smallest good deed that you do, even giving a piece of food to a bird, becomes Mahayana Dhamma. If what?
If you have bodhicitta.
There's a big debate in the monastery about what does it mean to have bodhicitta? What does it mean that you have bodhicitta? Like, let's suppose you reach bodhicitta, you get real bodhicitta in your mind.
Becomes what?
And suppose you start thinking about something else. You know, you get mad at work or something. Do you still have bodhicitta? Or do you lose it?
Well, I guess there might be two kinds, no?
So what's your question again?
Because you're not, you know... Excuse me?
What is your question?
Let's say that you get bodhicitta. One day you sit down, you're meditating, you have this true experience of wanting to help all beings. Giving up your life. Now, dedicating your whole life like a light, you're just shining. Your only function is to shine on other people. You don't want anything. And let's say you do that. And let's say 2 hours later you get angry at somebody. Did you lose the bodhicitta while you were getting angry?
Is it possible to hold two thoughts simultaneously?
No.
Is it possible for someone with bodhicitta to be angry?
No, I don't think so.
Of course it's possible. Yes. You didn't achieve cessation.
They say that the moment of anger burns a field of many tears of memories.
Yeah, so by the way, you get bodhicitta long before you get nirvana.
Yeah.
Before you eliminate your bad thoughts, you can have bodhicitta. That's on your quiz. I mean, homework.
So you can have...
Long before you get rid of all your bad thoughts, your six big bad thoughts, for example, anger, jealousy, desire, ignorance, things like that, you can have bodhicitta. So let's say that you have bodhicitta, then you get angry later. Do you lose the bodhicitta? By the way, if you do lose the bodhicitta, you're not a...
bodhisattva.
Yeah, you became an unbodhisattva. Right? Is that possible? What happens? The answer is, in Buddhist scripture, the mind is soaked with bodhicitta. There's no good word for it in English. It's called simba. Simba means...
that's saturated.
Permeated. Yeah, it's permeated by bodhicitta. And you may get angry. You may even think about some girl or something or whatever. But you have bodhicitta at the moment. You still have it.
Sort of
the ground. That's a very important question when you perceive emptiness directly.
What do you mean you may think?
Because at the moment you perceive emptiness directly, you cannot perceive a normal object. You can't perceive all sentient beings to be worried about. It's impossible. So even at that moment you have bodhicitta. You do have bodhicitta. There's a famous text. When a bodhisattva is sleeping, when a bodhisattva is angry or got his mind distracted on something else, when he's going to the bathroom, he's still working for all sentient beings. It's incredible. The power of this attitude is that even when it's not present in your mind, you have it in your mind, and everything you do, every little thing you do is a bodhisattva's activity. It's Mahayana Dharma.
Even if it's not your primary conscious focus.
Right. Any activity you do, and they say going to the bathroom, you know, cooking your dinner, it becomes Mahayana Dharma.
And that's once you have attained
real bodhicitta.
But it seems, Michael, that you need stabilization, sort of. I've heard about this word, becoming stable, because otherwise you can be completely crazy. For a minute you love everybody, and the next 5 minutes you start screaming.
That's it. It wouldn't have been real
bodhicitta. Emotionally unstable.
Yeah, no, it would not have been real bodhicitta. Okay.
You're saying you can actually commit to downward?
Absolutely.
And
sure.
Still,
yeah, bodhisattvas can commit.
Because it can come, but bodhicitta can come before the correct view, right? Mm. Once you have the correct view, you don't do non-virtue anymore.
Huh?
Correct view. When you achieve, oh.
Sure you can.
You can.
Why is there gomlan? Gomlan is to purify yourself. After tonglan, after the path of seeing, after you perceive emptiness directly, you absolutely can commit bad deeds. Sure.
But anything you do with correct view couldn't be a bad thing.
If you have correct view, if your mind is on the emptiness of an object, you cannot have a bad thought about it. It's impossible.
Michael, at what point are you beyond that? I'm sorry, is that when you're an arhat? Are you beyond the capability of...
Yeah, an arhat cannot have a bad thought anymore. That's what makes you an arhat. And that's the fifth path, not the third path.
So would you say that sentence before you erase it?
Yeah, yeah. Where's the English?
Yeah, what? The very tiniest good deed that you do, the very tiniest good deed is Mahayana Dharma. There is no is. In Tibetan, you don't need an is all the time. Not Genon. I monk. That's why Tibetans learn English. They don't need an M.
So,
that's interesting.
So then your non-virtuous actions, while being done with the permeation of bodhicitta, would not produce the same kind of negative result, the same depth of negative result that a similar non-virtuous action would, that was caused by someone who was out of bodhicitta, right?
He adds two more things to that same sentence, okay? And you can call them more benefits, okay? I'm going to put a dot. This is the Tibetan way of saying that.
So is this number 4A or number 5?
I would call it number 5.
I know when we talk it's number 5.
We just had number 4. Now we're doing number 5. I'm going to give you more than 6. You only have to remember 6. Pick the easy ones. Pick the ones you like.
Which
one?
This is
4
still?
That one was good.
This is 5.
The next one's 5,
they're
the last one was 4?
This is 4. We're going to call this number 5.
Okay. It means and, dot.
Yeah. You copy the same part here, Gewa Chung Se. I already gave it to you. The first 4 syllables of the last one. In Tibetan, they do this, and it means, I'm not going to write the whole thing over again. You know what I'm talking about.
Because they had to carve it in wood, right?
The last statement that you made is, are the actions themselves permitted with book? Someone gets
angry. No, the mind.
Not the actions, it's the mind.
Semgi simba.
Since the mind is permeated with bodhicitta, then what are the actions? The actions are less...
Are motivated by a mind permeated.
So they're less detrimental or something.
Yeah. Okay. So what does Gewa Chung say? What was the blank part here?
The tiniest virtue.
Yeah, the very tiniest good deed that you do is... Okay, gyu. What does gyu mean?
Cause.
Of sangye. Buddhahood. This is the other word for Buddhahood. So just you give a small piece of bread to a bird, it can make you a Buddha. If you have this...
Right motivation.
Changsem. The second path. The first path was renunciation.
Bodhicitta.
No, first path is renunciation.
Right.
Second path is bodhicitta. If you have it, then little tiny good things you do, it can make you a Buddha later.
Is that indirectly? Or, it seemed like we spent a great deal of time earlier in this class saying that unless it had correct view, it couldn't be the cause of anything but something samsaric.
Right.
Now you're making a second case here?
Well, by that time, you're so close to getting correct view.
No, you said even you haven't experienced emptiness yet, even you don't even have an intellectual understanding of it yet, you've got bodhicitta, and then your good deeds are now a cause for something other than a samsaric result. Whereas earlier in the class you gave the impression that unless it was correct view, it would produce a samsaric result.
No.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Merit, you know.
Bodhisattvas or not.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, even the bodhisattva's actions, if they're done with ignorance,
ultimately
won't bring them.
Ultimately.
Can you say that again?
But let's not. They don't say that in the text here. They're concentrating on the benefits. You know, we can debate it, and we will. But the point here is that the smallest good thing you do can make it. So, say,
gel.
Say.
Gye.
Chupa.
Chupa.
It's with Michael.
Sometimes I forget which class
I'm in. I think it's Ross Rowe would say, that's a gotcha.
Gel.
Gel.
Oh, you write it down. Say, gel say.
Gyal se
ki
chupa.
Gyal
se ki chupa.
Gyal se is another word for bodhisattva. Okay. Gyal se is another word for bodhisattva. I'm going to explain it shortly. Ki means of. Chupa means the activity. The activity.
The
activity of a bodhisattva. You know, if you want to act like a bodhisattva, this big bodhisattva, all you have to do is give a little piece of bread to a bird. It's gyalseki chupa. It is a world-shaking activity. It is a universe-moving activity. If you have that talent. That's pretty powerful. They say that the universe shakes when a person gets...
Mm-hmm.
Gets this in its mind. If somebody on planet Earth gets bodhicitta, finally gets it, then they say, like, you know, Pluto shifts a little bit, you know. Seriously.
People get sick?
No, like the whole world will move. Because they say the world jumps because it's happy. The whole planet, you know, the whole Earth.
Oh, yes.
Move a little
bit. Shaking.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't call that an earthquake?
No, they call it Sayon. Yeah, earthquake.
Yeah. That's in the Prajnaparamita, right?
It's often quoted in the sutras, and it has happened. Gyal se ki chupa. Okay. The activity of a bodhisattva. Just giving any small thing you do, any small good thing you do.
Is that a separate item or something?
No, it also needs that first part, that first half. I'm treating it as a separate item, and you can't.
How is this different from four?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Good deed that you do is
confused on what this means.
Technically, it's the same in the end. Okay?
How is it different than the tiniest virtue as a cause?
I don't know.
What's that?
How is it different than the tiniest virtue as a cause for Buddhahood?
Well, is it different to be the cause of a Buddhahood and be bodhisattva activity? And be the activity... and be Mahayana Dharma. See, there's a slightly different chase, right? Oh, he's doing Mahayana Dharma. Oh, he's acting like a bodhisattva. Oh, he's doing something that's going to make him a Buddha. Yeah, ultimately they're all the same. But there's a different taste, isn't there? A different shape. They say...
Seven.
What are we on?
Yes.
Seven. We only need six for next week. Please say, Sangye.
Sangye.
Namki.
Namki.
Sesu.
Sesu.
Gong.
Gong.
Sangye.
Sangye.
Namki.
Namki.
Sesu.
Sesu.
Gong.
Gong.
Sangye, you know.
Buddha.
Buddha. Sangye means Buddha. Nam. Makes it plural. Buddha's. The Buddhas. Many Buddhas. The Buddhas Ki means by them. By. By them.
It also means of.
Right? Yeah, it's a different spelling in Tibetan, but same sound in English. Se means son or daughter. Se su means as their son or daughter. As. And gong means consider. So Nitya, what does it mean?
That whoever the very bodhicitta will be considered the son of Buddha.
Yeah, Buddhas. All the Buddhas in the universe. Okay, you get bodhicitta tonight at home. And all the Buddhas in the universe say, oh, we got a new daughter.
Oh.
Okay, wow. She's my daughter. He's my son. They treat you. They treat you, they look upon you, they protect you, they watch out for you. You now have a different kind of relationship is possible with them because of the bodhicitta. That was not possible before. Yeah.
Rinpoche put it very wonderfully one time. He said that just like when a king and a queen has a child that's the prince or the princess, the whole place is happy. This is going to be a continuance, a furtherance of the lineage.
Yeah,
and that person is treated very carefully and very specially and like that. In the same way, he says, when somebody achieves bodhicitta, all the Buddhas look upon that person as the continuance of the race of the Buddhas and therefore should be protected and taken
now
care of.
Now we have another... you know, now we have a prince who can carry on the royal...
Michael, the fact that, I don't know, I find out to visualize the Buddha, let's say, right? Is it the obscuration that we are, I'm under or there? I mean, it seems that...
Which you can do it?
Yeah, I mean, that...
Cannot do it.
Where are these Buddhas, after all? They are in a plane that is difficult to reach for
when
beginners.
When you perceive emptiness directly, you see Buddhas directly. That's the first time you see Buddha directly. The emptiness that you see is directly related to his Dharmakaya. The next moment, as you come out of that experience, you see Buddhas. And then from then on, there's only one bad thought, one of the two, I believe, that you lose the day that you perceive emptiness directly, is that you can no longer ever, ever doubt Buddhism. You see a Buddha directly. You know, then people can say anything to you. You know, there's no Buddhas, there's no karma. You say, yeah, I saw. And I know I wasn't crazy. I know what I saw. I was not drinking. I wasn't... You know that you're right. There's two feelings going on at that moment. You know that you're not crazy, and you know you saw a Buddha.
You know it's true. You know it's all true.
Well, you know you're not making some mistake.
Yeah.
You know it's authentic experience. A. B. You see Buddha. So who can tell you anything after that? You see your future lives. You see how many lives it will be until Michael becomes a Buddha. So who can tell you anything after that? Who cares? You know, people can talk to you till the...
No.
You won't doubt
Buddha. Then we strive to get there. You mean?
Yeah, minimum it will be 7 lives. I saw it. Oh. Tell me anything. I don't care. I don't need to know anything. What do you want to tell me?
But, you know...
I don't doubt anything.
Michael? Is that necessarily...
Leave that one.
No.
Have that one stay as it is. Okay. No, it's very important. You can yawn. I just figured out that we only have like 2 homeworks left.
You mean you gotta make up some new ones, or...
No, if you think about it, we're only going to have 10 homeworks, right? Oh, this is number 7. You got 3 more to go up to that. You're done with
them? But then what about the rest of the classes?
You don't have a homework due on the last day because it's a final. And there was no 12th homework because you don't have a class on the 12th time. And you're already on number 7.
Is there one day August 12th?
On the 12th class, he's saying. The 12th class.
This Monday, we're not having a class.
That's correct.
So this homework There is going to be a week.
A week from today.
August 4th.
Yeah, there won't be a class Monday.
This coming Monday.
Right. It's a monk session, and I have a lot to contribute.
I just
going to
have nothing to contribute.
A monk in heaven?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you need this.
Two more to last.
2 years.
We got two more to go, and then you're out of here. Stick it out.
Including this one? Or?
No. It's everything else I want to put with. It's not this. Really.
No, I mean, it's hard. It's been, I mean, for me it's exhausting. And I know it's hard for you. It's been a lot of hours. But you're like over halfway through. And you're really doing good. And you're learning a lot. I mean, now you're learning accurate Buddhism. And, you know, people can tell you later, blah, 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 and you say, well, the book actually says, you know. Okay, please say, Changchu.
Changchu.
Senpa.
Senpa.
Namki.
Namki.
Bundu.
Bundu.
Gong.
Gong.
Changchu.
Changchu.
Senpa.
Senpa.
Namki.
Namki.
Bundu.
Bundu.
Gong.
Gong.
Okay, what's a Changchu Senpa?
Buddhist.
A warrior, Bodhisattva.
This whole part here means Bodhisattva.
A Bodhi warrior.
Nam, we had it just now.
Sattvas.
Yeah, the Bodhisattvas in the universe, all of them. Ki. By them. What does the gong mean? Same as we have before.
Consider
you as to
one of them.
Their bun.
Brother.
Bun means brother or sister. It's a word that's used for both brother and sister. Every single bodhisattva in the universe says, oh, now I have a new brother. I have a new sister.
So the Buddhists regard you as their children. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a new family, actually. You are a different kind of person. Different class of person. Different level of person.
What to do?
I don't know.
Like, what was the pun?
Brother or sister.
And then the do?
As a. I think we're going to end up with 10, right?
We're
on
9.
We've got one more
to go. Where does you come in there? Why are you...
Understood.
Okay.
Tibetan is it's a very brief language. It's a beautiful language for Buddhism. And it's a farmer's language. It's a herder's language. It's incredible that the deepest thoughts of humanity were best expressed in farmer's language or nomad's language, really.
Best expressed? Better than in Sanskrit? Huh?
Much better.
No kidding. I thought Sanskrit was the language of the Buddhas.
They also speak that. Okay. Take chin.
Tekchen
la
shu
shu.
Tekchen
la
shu
shu. Tekchen means Mahayana. Big capacity. Tek means, well, this is the Maha and this is the Yana. Chen is the Maha and Tek is the Yana. Mahayana means big capacity. They say big vehicle, but vehicle's not really the right word. It's vehicular capacity. It really is.
A cargo van.
It's a little too long, so it's a great vehicle.
Sounds like a car van.
It's not that it's a vehicle so much. It refers to how big a load you can take on your shoulders. Can you take all sentient beings on your shoulders? Yes. You must have a big capacity.
Well, that's a vehicle.
Yeah. Tekchen la shu. Tekchen la means into. La means into. Shuk means entered. Past tense. Entered. This is like incredible. So Laura, what's it mean? If you have bodhicitta.
If you have bodhicitta, you've entered into the great...
Into the Mahayana. Then you are a Mahayana person. Before that, not technically yet. You're not.
You're aspiring.
You could say, I'm a Tibetan Buddhist, I'm a Mahayana Buddhist, but you're not. I mean, you're not a really... Technically, you're not a real Mahayana. When you get Dzogchen Tsenkhe, when you get bodhicitta, then you are Mahayana. You are a Mahayana person. And that's what makes you a Mahayana person.
When you say take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, does the Sangha mean bodhisattvas, or does it mean Pratyeka Buddhas? Or?
This is going to be the subject, this is the exact subject that I want to do first in the second course. What is refuge? What are the objects of refuge? And it's extremely interesting. And we'll start debating a little bit. And that's incredible. The real Sangha is people who have seen emptiness directly. Not people who are wearing robes. Not people who have taken monks' vows.
And not bodhisattvas.
No. Anyone who has seen emptiness directly is Sangha.
And what is a Buddhist?
Anyone who takes refuge. Truly is a Buddhist. So there's a joke, I mean it's not a joke, there's a statement that you can be the abbot of a Buddhist monastery after studying for 50 years and not be a Buddhist.
Because you haven't truly taken refuge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Taijin Lashu. So what's the ninth benefit and maybe a really important one? You become Mahayana Buddhist? You are then a Mahayana Buddhist.
So in terms of the saying you have to go through each of the paths, you know, the lower, the not, Hinayana, etc., is that, that's like saying, first you have to have renunciation of the lower path, right?
Well, there's a trick, and it's a beautiful question, because there's three tracks, there's five paths on each track, there's a total of 15. You know, how do you, what's the flow chart? You know, can you jump from from A track 3 to B track 4? Can you go up to C track 1 without going on B track? Can you start at C track 1? This is the whole subject, there's a whole book written about it. Basically, the advice of lamas is, look, start at high track, bodhisattva mind. Don't, you don't even have to go to the long.
So you don't have to cultivate the lower scope and then the middle scope and then the higher scope. I was told you have to go
through the three
order.
Scopes you do.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Not the three tracks. Those are different.
When you say tracks, what do you mean?
Long story. No, I mean, if you can stay here all night, I'll teach you.
Maybe
we'll get
you guys there.
Maybe it's the question. This is the answer to the question. Who's
doing that? Sorry.
Let's say they eat you in the monastery.
I started. And he always sit in the dorm, they could hear me coming. Sorry.
Last benefit.
You never yawn again.
You're fully awakened.
You never sigh.
Okay, please repeat. Sechik.
Sechik.
La.
La.
Sang.
Sang.
Gya.
Gya.
Sechik.
Sechik.
La.
La.
Sang.
Sang.
Gya.
Gya.
What is Tsering? You know what Tsering means?
Oh, immortal or?
Long life.
Long
the
life.
Tibetan name Tsering means long life. Tsering means life. Life.
Just
Chick means
one.
Chick means sushi, ratu, dungi. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Chick is number 4. That's it, chick. La means in. Sangya is the verb for sangye. Bigger.
Buddha.
Yeah, to become a Buddha. Become enlightened. Become a Buddha. What does it mean?
Become a Buddha in one life.
You can become a Buddha in one life.
If you have bodhicitta, you can become a Buddha in this life. Which means, what, Liana? What just popped into your mind? It's true. What just popped in your mind is true.
You might not.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking a chance. What can make you a Buddha in your life?
What can make you a Buddha in one life?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Nothing.
Vajrayana.
Yeah, tantric. Yeah. Tantric practice. Okay. This refers to tantric practice. Okay. If you have bodhicitta, tantric practice will work. And you can become a Buddha in this life. You can reach paradise in this one life before you die.
So it's implied that you have to practice tantra. Having bodhicitta is not enough.
But it's a prerequisite. It makes you eligible. Okay, it makes you eligible to achieve Buddhahood. And it makes sense. If tantric Buddhahood is the experience of the world and all the beings in it as the reality of them being angels to you, wouldn't it make sense that you would have to first have a love for all of them? What else could create it? Some kind of great goodness done towards every being in the universe is necessary, karmically, for you to get that payback.
What goes around comes around.
It would require you to love every single being that you meet for you later to see them all as in your character. And without that, it's impossible. Karmically speaking, it would never make sense. So as long as you're irritated with one person at work,
that's tough. Very fast, but very dangerous too.
Long story. We're not going to get into that. Okay. But let me say one thing. I mean, now people were telling me that the renunciation meditation was a little depressing.
Yeah.
And it was. Concentrate now. When you meditate this week, okay, try to start to get some joy about this subject. What it means is, what if you truly wanted every person around you to be happy? And try to imagine it. You know, that's a fun meditation. That's a quite an inspiring and uplifting meditation. You know? Try to imagine what it would be like if you truly wanted everyone around you to be happy. Because right now you don't. You get jealous if someone around you gets some success, especially if it impinges on your success. You know? Try to imagine what it would be like if you really, truly took the joy of a mother in her son's accomplishments, if everyone around you got exactly the nice thing that they want.
You know what I get in doing that? It's like I only have the frame of reference as this suffering human. So when I look around me and I'm helping all these people, it's work, it's hard, it hurts, it's pain.
I don't think so. You know, I mean, get into it. I mean, just imagine. The book says, and he quotes Shantideva, he says, even if the most broad scope you can do is wish that your neighbor could get rid of his migraine headaches, it's a great virtue. You did it's a great step on developing bodhicitta. Good job. You know, just that. It's a fun meditation. If you imagine that, if you meditate and you imagine that you went outside and you had the power, every person you see on the street, you could give him his dearest wish. And that's nice. That's a really nice one.
So you've got to let go of the fact that everything is suffering, and you are coming. You are suffering yourself while you're helping.
Well, ultimately, the dearest wish is that. I mean, when you go out here tonight and you see these guys on this on your gauntlet before you hit the corner of the corner, well, just imagine. Suppose I have the power to remove all this guys. They don't like being like that. You know, they like to be healthy and have a nice place to stay and eat nice food and have good friends. I just wish you could give it to them.
You made this.
The selfish part of that is that they no longer be threatening to you.
By the way, they are threatening.
I mean, if they could not have that suffering.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, go.
Homework.
Crazy people. Okay, then unser Lachen.
Yeah. Gewadi geoku sanami shi sozo shi
Sāsanāmi se vajāvē Tāmpākūni tāpārāśo.
Michael, could we add another quote to memorize?
Yeah, it's there.
Already?
Well, third verse.
No.
Oh,
that's a very important
one. Tom's asking if you can have a grace for food.
Yeah. That's an important thing to memorize.
We'll do that at some point. A grace to say before you eat something.